Amen. That was fantastic. Thank you, Kendall and Monica. And Monica says, Amen. Well, you know, y'all could sing all the time. You just sound so good together, and we appreciate it, and it is certainly a blessing. But I hope it's always like that. I hope you should always be nervous and trust in the Lord and let Him use you, and that is fantastic. And good to hear them singing together. What a blessing. That was good. Man. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We started this morning with the title of a message, Train Up a Child. And tonight I want to give you the rest of that. Train up a child. Father, thank you for all that we've done tonight. We thank you for the young people, their camp experience and the testimonies, and I've heard of nothing but good things about this year's camp, and some were not with us tonight, but also made decisions, and we just thank you for those decisions. Thank you for the little babies here on the platform and their lives ahead of them, and we look forward to seeing what you're going to do in their lives, and thank you for their parents, bringing them and expressing their desire to train them up in the way they should go. We thank you for the 4th through 6th grade choir and their little song. What a blessing that was, and we've seen young people, and we've seen young people as they become older people, and what a blessing to see folks trained up in the way they should go. And I pray you'll help us to do that. Speak to our hearts tonight, especially, Lord, speak to fathers here on Father's Day, but not just fathers, all parents, all teachers, all leaders, our church. Lord, the obligation that we have to children, I pray we'd take it seriously and train up these children. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I couldn't help but remember when it was Kendall and Monica standing up here giving testimonies about different camps and conferences, and standing in the groups like the other young people did, and giving a testimony of making this decision or that decision, surrendering to do whatever God wants. And I can remember those days. They were quite a bit younger, and then they're up here singing together, a married couple. And singing together beautifully. And I can remember, you guys thought I was done, didn't you? No. But anyway, what a blessing it is. You know, I can't remember, I don't think I can remember back when they were in the 4th through 6th grade choir, because I think we started that after I came a little ways in. But boy, what an exciting thing. And you know, it won't be long and those little babies are going to be they're going to be giving testimonies about their camps and conferences, and it just happens so fast, doesn't it, parents? I mean, it really does. And so I appreciate that. What a blessing. It's been a great service tonight. I want to close things up tonight with Proverbs 22:6, the second part, because it's just too long to get it all in this morning. We started this morning talking about the responsibility we have to train up a child. Train up a child, the responsibility we have in thinking of discipleship, our theme for the month, time for discipleship, and the responsibility we have as a church to train up young converts, new converts, to make sure they're getting the Bible, to make sure they're taught the truth. What a shame it would be to lead someone to Christ and then let a Jehovah's Witness come in and disciple them. Obviously, they're not going to go the way they need to go. We praise the Lord they got saved, but they're not going to be able to, they won't learn the truth they need to learn that would literally give them a wonderful life and a life of success in the Lord. But again, it is very crucial we understand it says train up a child. And so we're not just talking about our own children, our own grandchildren, our own great-grandchildren. We're talking about the children that we have any influence on at all. And doing it right, doing it according to the Word of God. It is our obligation, I believe, to children to train them right. So number one, we started this morning with the training. The training. The Bible says very simply in verse 6, it is in the way he should go. It is the way that is according to God's word. It is God's way. It is the way that the Bible teaches us to go. Again, there are many, many ways we can all go. There are many ways that I as an adult can go. There are many ways that you as adults can go. And yet, we think about a little child, and somebody needs to be there when they're children to help them go the right way. And thank God for Vacation Bible School. Thank God for Berean Baptist Academy. Thank God for our Sunday school classes and junior churches and our bus ministry and all the opportunities we have. But thank God for godly homes. Thank God for homes where a child, as a little child, they can learn this is the way. This right here. This is how the direction, this is the way that you need to go. And we need to be focused on that. We talked about God gives us a way to be saved. He shows us the way to be saved in His Word. He shows us the way to seek Him. There is a way to seek God, and He shows us that as we walk with Him, as we seek His Word and His will in our lives. He shows us a way to surrender to Him. And He admonishes us over and over again to surrender our lives, to give up our will for His will. He shows us a way to be separate from the rest of the world. And again, He commands us to be separate. He shows us how we can do it, though. Teaches us that we can resist the devil. Isn't it great to know you can resist the devil? Oh, I know he's powerful. I understand that. I know that. But Matthew 4, Jesus himself shows us very clearly as he's tempted three times of the devil and thus encompassing all temptation. And he overcomes that temptation all three times. I mean, he's God. He could do anything. But all three times, I believe, he wants us to see the example that we can have the Word of God and overcome the temptations of Satan. He shows us a way to serve. And, you know, what opportunity. We have Vacation Bible School, two of them. And I think 20 to 30 people are signed up to help next week. We will have maybe 50 shepherds come and take part in Vacation Bible School. And we'd love to have more, but we have one of the homes, the biggest home, that houses many of our shepherds. They just have not allowed them to come to our Vacation Bible School yet. But we'll have all these workers that will take part, and you'll have an opportunity to serve the Lord. It's a lot of fun. It really is. And we're excited about that. And then next week, we will have like 140, 150 workers who take part in helping to train young people. But what are you doing? Well, you're getting a chance to serve. It's a great opportunity to serve. Over the weekend, all the opportunities, so many things going on. People back in the kitchen cooking for the breakfast yesterday, and the Moran Mission Group, and just exciting to see Ed Engel making pancakes, and I mean these guys are working hard, and the ladies working back there, and young people, young girls trying to get everybody to drink, drink my apple juice, no, drink my orange juice, and no, I've got some coffee, and you know it's just exciting to be able to serve God. And what an honor, what a privilege it is to be able to serve the King of Kings. Every time somebody says, well, there's just nothing in Christianity for me. There's just nothing to do. And good night, there's so much to do. I don't know how we do it all. This weekend especially, it's been a busy, busy weekend. And of course, we have a way to succeed. And that's the greatest thing, you know. We can be prosperous in this life. We can succeed as Christians. And I'm not talking about having lots and lots of money. I'm just talking about success in the sense that God is pleased with our lives. And our lives are everything that they could be for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we talked about the training. Tonight I want to start with number two, and we only have 3 points. But number two is the trainer. Or the trainers, that we're looking at here. If you know anything about English, in verse 6, I believe there would be an understood subject there of you. You train up a child. We are the trainers. Notice I'm not looking at Mrs. Potter. That's right, isn't it? Understood you. That's what you call it, right? See, it's been a long time, but I remember some things. And the understood you, that's us, okay? That's the reader. We can. No better person to disciple people than one who is a disciple. By the way, the best teacher in the world is constantly learning as well. Best trainers are learning more and more and more about the subject they train, but they're learning more and more about themselves so they can be a more effective trainer. And certainly we as trainers, dads and moms, you know, there's not a parent in this room that you've got it all figured out. I don't care how old you are. Not a grandparent in this room. You've got it all figured out. I mean, there is constant training in the Word of God that we've got to do. We must continue to be a disciple ourselves. We must continue to grow ourselves. And, you know, as we think about discipline, we think about teaching. We learned a couple weeks ago, a disciple, mathetes, he's a learner, one who's learning. Boy, you know, these little babies, they're learning. I mean, they're learning everything. They figure it out. They get to looking around at everything. They're listening to everything they hear. You know, I mean, they're perking up trying to catch all these things. We were talking to Stacy after church this morning, and Lydia was out there, and Stacy's holding her, and all of a sudden one of the microphones just crackled a little bit, made a little pop, and you know she's looking around. You know, she wants to know what that thing, what's that noise? You know, and I thought sure she's going to start crying, but she seemed kind of excited about it. Amen. I mean, you know, just she's learning. And these little children, their minds are able to grasp so many things. It's amazing. And so it only makes sense we start teaching them the Bible. It only makes sense we teach them Bible memory verses. And it only makes sense because, again, the train up a child in the way he should go, it's in the way of the Word of God, and they can learn it. They can learn it. I love to hear Bible teaching, and I love especially hearing some of our Bible teachers, some of our ladies in the Sunday school classes, and some of those flannel graph things, and it's just amazing. It's amazing how you can train a child. But you know, discipline. It's funny how we always think there's only one meaning to discipline. Look at Genesis 18 and verse 19. Genesis 18. And verse 19, Bible talks about Abraham here. Genesis 18 and verse 19. For I know him, God says this about Abraham, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Don't you like that? God says, I know him. I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they'll keep the way of the Lord. I know him, God said. I know this guy. I know he'll read the Bible. I know he'll pray. I know he will teach the Word of God to his children. Boy, what a blessing to be said about a trainer. Amen? When God says, hey, I know that guy. I know he's training his family, his kids, his disciples. I know him. Ephesians 6, verse 4, it says, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture is correction. We'll get to that in a minute. Nurture is, we always think of nurture as, it sounds like such a soft word. Well, actually, it is correction. It is where we get the word chastening from. But admonition, what's that? That's in keeping the Lord in their mind, reminding them of the Lord day in, day out, all the time, reminding them of the Lord. There should never be discipline whereby the Lord is not brought into the teaching process. There should never be a time in a Christian home, in a Christian situation where there are Christians involved, where there is any kind of discipline, training, teaching going on whereby we don't bring to mind, that's admonition, bring to mind the Lord. Child does wrong. Well, who says it's wrong? Dad. Okay, that's one. Why does dad say it's wrong? Well, because God says it's wrong. Teach him. Tell him. Show him. And show him as you're giving a great big hug afterwards, after they've been disciplined and dealt with, show him as you give him a great big hug. You know, daddy loves you, and God loves you too. God loves you so very much. And God sent his son so you would not have to take eternal punishment. Amen. I mean, they should remind them of the Lord day in, day out. But again, we're talking about the trainer, and the trainer obviously is going to have to use discipline. Now, you know, I wrote these verses down only because nobody else is going to tell you this. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Nobody else is going to tell you this. In fact, they're going to tell you the opposite. In fact, this will become, one of these days, it'll be hate speech. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, I did not write that. God did. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. We have so many children left to themselves today. Well, we don't want to warp their psyches. I've never did I paddle my children on their psyche. I did not have to worry about warping anything except where they got the paddle. And sometimes it got warped a little bit. Listen to me. The rod and reproof give wisdom. See, I can't understand. Poindexter just never makes the right decisions. Have you used the rod and reproof? Because I'm going to tell you, there's no greater decision maker than when I messed up, I pay for it. Come on. Some of the best lessons we have learned is when we messed up, it cost us. Amen. Not it cost dad or it cost mom. I mean, they can learn from our mistakes. That is true. But the greatest lesson in the world is certainly it goes back to when I was a child and dad said, do this. And I'll never forget the day that dad called me and said, dude, you need to do this. I said, I don't want to do it. And he said, you will do it. And I took a spear and I threw it at him. That was about the dumb. I can still see all that taking place. As a young child, dad was there and I was down. I was looking up. And what in the world possessed me to do that? He absolutely, positively got out the little red paddle and beat the fire out of me. Now, I'm going to tell you know, timeout would have got my attention for about the timeout period. But the paddle got my attention for a long, long time. Amen. But again, I didn't write it. God did. And nobody else is going to tell you this. It's nobody else will preach about it. It's not being taught anywhere else. It's almost like that is taboo. You don't even talk about it anymore. Godly parents don't even talk about it anymore. And by the way, if you're among ungodly people, I wouldn't talk about it a whole lot. Not your own personal lives. Honestly, I would not talk about it. Not that you have anything to hide. It's just nobody's business. Amen. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I know, not your Poindexter. Not your Throckmorton. No. But all the other ones, it is true. It is bound in the heart of a child. How can we get this foolishness out? How can we do it, preacher? I don't know how to get it out. Well, the world will tell you to put them on Ritalin. Now again, I'm not a doctor, okay? I don't have any kind of doctorates or anything. I'm not going to prescribe, unprescribe. You have a doctor putting you on this, that. You do what the doctor says, all right? I'm just saying, here's what God says about foolishness. Okay, I'm not talking about asthma. I'm not talking about some other sickness or something. I'm talking about foolishness, okay? Foolishness. In the heart of a child, here's what will get rid of it. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay, it's bound in our bound. It's in there. It's tied up in there. All right? How are you going to get rid of it? Well, God says a rod of correction will. Again, I remind you, the word nurture means correction. Bring them up in the nurture, the correction, the chastening, the dealing with, the discipline. Okay? Does disobedience have a price? Should. It should. Proverbs 13, verse 24. Proverbs 13, 24. I'll move on here in a minute, but I just nobody else talks about it. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth. I didn't write that. God wrote that. But it's powerful. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. He doesn't just get him up in the morning and beat him. Chastening is teaching. Chastening is discipline. Chastening is teaching. It's teaching a lesson. And if a lesson is not needed, a lesson's not done. But how many times is it needed and it's shirked? I didn't say it. God said the person that does not take care of it hates his child. Again, that is not popular. One of these days, Brother Odom, you're going to be preaching that, and authorities are going to come in your church, and they're going to give you a hard time over that. I believe you'll see that. Now, an old guy like me, I may not see that, but you may see that someday. You know? That's the Bible, though. What, how do you not preach the Bible? How do you not teach people? This is how we train our children. It's the way. It's the right way. And the trainer had better learn how to do it the right way. Again, I am appalled at any kind of child abuse in the world. I'm appalled at it. It sickens me. Any kind of child abuse, any kind of an adult abusing a child. But I'm going to tell you something. Letting them do their own thing is abuse. You are sentencing them to a life of trouble. You know, I'll tell you what, I am so glad to this day that I had a few red marks where I sit down instead of going to jail. Praise the Lord. And I don't know how that was all going to turn out, but I thank God for that. I had unsaved parents. By the way, back in those days, unsaved parents knew how to train their kids better than saved people do today. It's amazing. It really is. That's all the introduction to the trainer. Let me give you some things about the trainer. First of all, it's a great responsibility. I've said this for many, many years. God gave children parents. We always look at it like, oh, you know, God gave us a child. No, he gave that child you. And it's up to us. We have so many years. You know, usually about 18, 20, something like that. We have so many years, and it is a huge responsibility in the sight of God Almighty. As a parent, it is your responsibility. Hey, teacher, you may have them 1 year. You may have them 2 years. You may have them 3 years. Sunday school class, junior church, vacation Bible school. You have a window. Okay, you're a vacation Bible school teacher. Don't you dare take it lightly like, oh, well, this is no big deal. Hey, it is very, very important you have a window. You have a little window of opportunity to be an influence, to train, to teach a young person. And understand this, vacation Bible school could change a young person's life. Your Sunday school class, if you don't have the attitude, it could change a young person's life. You ought to turn it over to somebody who does have that attitude. Get out of there. I mean, it could change somebody's life. A responsibility, a teacher, a leader over children. It's a huge responsibility. And I believe we're accountable to God for it. You know, we're not going to just... We have a competition between... what bus are you on, David? Bus 5. Where is that? That's this side. All right. And where's Gabby? Gabby, wave at me. Back there. What bus are you on? Bus 2. They're in competition with each other. Two of our graduates. And they're fired up. I mean, they're at war. I don't know what it is. I think they're going to shave their head or something like that. No, they're not, really. But, wow. Gabby with her head shaved. Something about that. I would have to help her win. But if we had to cheat. But, you know, but we don't want to just bring them here and say, we brought kids. We want something to happen. Their lives to be changed. And not only we want them to get saved, but we want them to grow and to be whatever God wants them to be. It is so exciting to think. It is a great responsibility, though. I mentioned this morning $20,000 to $30,000 a year for our bus ministry. And it is maybe our largest, most expensive ministry other than our school. And it is crucial, absolutely essential that we do it. The fair ministry, we'll pour a lot of money into that, a lot of work, a lot of hours. But we do it to get people saved and Lord willing, get an opportunity. It's a great responsibility. And we'll see a lot of children saved. and have some ideas for this year to even see more and more saved at the fair. You know, it's a great responsibility. The second thought under the trainer is this: the trainer must know their subject. That's why the trainer also should be a disciple. Amen. And constantly learning. Amen. You know, again, the way he should go. I'm frustrated with trainers who they don't know the way to go. See it all the time. Trainer, you know, well, I mean, how many soul winning experiences have you had? I'm thinking of one right now. Soul winning, knock on somebody's door and talk to them, and they say, well, I've been a Sunday school teacher 30 years. Well, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, you can't know that. What in the world are you doing teaching Sunday school? You don't know the way yourself. Trainer must know the subject. Parents, you need to know the subject. You've got young people. You need to know the subject. You say, you know, I'm not a very good Christian as a parent. Then you're going to have a hard time training your kid to be a very good Christian. It's tough. You know, the old, do as I say, not as I do. It doesn't fly. It's a cop-out. They're watching what you do. Yeah, I know it's quiet. It's quiet. Billy, go to bed. We're going to watch our show now. Yeah, old Billy knows what that show's all about. And he can't figure out why you can watch it as a Christian and he can't as a Christian. You can hear the wind. That's our western sign blowing. But the trainer must know the subject. Parents should know. Sunday school teacher. Can you imagine driver's ed teacher doesn't know how to drive? You say, yeah, I had one like that. No. But anyway, amen. We need to know our stuff the way he should go. You know, this is it right here. That's a big book, you know it? That's why we should be constantly in it, learning, studying, learning more, so that we can teach, so we can train, so we can train up a child in the way he should go. The trainer must know the subject. Third thing is the trainer should do himself, live the program, should be living the program. I remember when I worked on maintenance down at Pensacola, and I started off working with a fellow named Mike Price, and he was just a good old South Alabama guy, amen. And you know, hi, my name's Mike Price, and he was the electrician, and he was teaching me. I didn't know anything about electricity. I knew batteries. You know, there's a difference between a 6-volt battery, or a 9-volt battery, and 110. There's a big difference between 110 and 220, two times difference. And anyway, and the zap is there is a difference. You take those little batteries, little square. Is that a 9-volt battery? Little square ones, and you touch your tongue on it. You ever do that? How many of you ever done that before? And wow, are we all stupid or what? But anyway, And you do that. I did it just the other day, just see if it still works. It does. It's amazing. But you touch your tongue on it, you know, and it's kind of cute. But 110 doesn't work like that. I remember wiring a ceiling fan one time, and I was wiring a ceiling fan, wiring the light under the fan. I was standing on the ladder, and there was a little 5-year-old running around in the house. And I had the wires and everything, and I had the switch turned off, and I'm right there, and all of a sudden, boom! You know, it zapped me. And I thought, what in the world? I got the switch is off. And I looked down, that little child flipped the switch on, and was going, yeah, that's not good. But Mike Price, he used to give some great, great words of wisdom. And I'll never forget this. In his southern drawl, you wire these things. You ought to trip the breaker. You ought to turn off the power. He said, I know what I'm doing. I wire things hot all the time. And I'll never forget, I was working on something one time, and the switch was on, and I was just being very careful. And he said, don't do that. You'll get killed. I said, I don't get it. You can do it, but I can't do it. And he said, you'll get killed. I said, why don't you get killed? And he said, do as I say, not as I do. And I said, phooey. And that's when the little girl zapped me. If I'd have shut the breaker off, I wouldn't have got zapped. But the point is, you know, the trainer, if you're not living it, you're going to have a hard time training it. You're going to have a hard time. You know, go through the training program that we talked about. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Do you seek the Lord daily? Do you seek God's word? Do you seek God's will in your life? Are you surrendered to the Lord? Well, it's tough to tell your child, you need to surrender your life to God when you yourself are not. And they know you're not. They know you're not. You know? Are you separated in your life? Yeah, kind of. You want them to be. You know, you throw a fit. I mean, they come home and they got around some kids and they come home and they say, hey, Dad, what's blank mean? You go, what? You know, you can't believe it, but you listen to it on TV. It's getting quiet again. Plus, I wish I wouldn't have done that just now with my head. You teach them, you know, you ought to serve God, kids. Do you serve God? You know what? They need to see you up here helping carry these chairs out. They need to see you the week of Vacation Bible School. They need to see you on the cleaning days and the activities that we have coming up. We have a school cleaning day that will be coming up. And they need to see you doing some of these things, serving God. They need to see you, whatever you can do, whatever it takes. They need to see that because the trainer should do those things themselves. Amen. And one of the greatest things for our children is seeing adults doing these things. It's a blessing. Do they see you being a success as a Christian? You know, I like seeing little Angela with the tithing envelope. Do your kids see you put tithing envelopes in the plate with something in it? Do they see that? They ought to know all about it. They ought to see it. You ought to talk about it. You ought to pray about it. You ought to talk about and pray about faith promise giving. As a family, they ought to grow up knowing that. You know what's a blessing? When a child grows up and they get a job and they just automatically tithe. It's all they know. They don't know anything else. Dad, how much can I give to missions? Just automatic. Well, pray about it, you know? And when they have an allowance, what can I give? You say, well, preacher, you're only talking nickels and dimes. You know, the widow just put in a mite. She put in all she had. Is all she had. Wasn't a lot. Doesn't matter how much. God just looks at what percentage. What'd you just do? Your heart. Amen. Do those you influence see this in you? Does your Sunday school class see it in? Are you consistent? Are you consistent out here in the world? Or is it just on Sunday you talk about God? You know, are you consistent where you work? Are you consistent everywhere you go? Are you consistent? The trainer should do these things themselves. Again, we're talking about the trainer. The trainer should make the life of the trainees consistent in all areas of their life, or most of the areas of their life. It ought to be consistent. God is not the author of confusion. Again, consistency is so important for a child. Absolutely essential for a child. And we get, you know, we ought to do everything we can to avoid confusion in their lives. Honestly, we should do everything. And it's almost impossible. We live in a, you know, we're in a world. And the world is not, it's not Berean Baptist Church. It's just, it's a world. But we should do everything we can to not confuse them. Amen. TV can be very confusing to your children. I mean, honestly, it can. You know, well, preacher says that's not right. And my Sunday school teacher said that, you know, these things, and you get... You know, it's tough. It's tough. You know what breaks my heart? Always does. And it's one of the most frustrating things is a young person, they come back from a camp or a conference or getting on fire for God, and they'll say, you know, my parents, I tried to get them to change the music on the radio in the car. And you know, I have to listen to that. And I ask God to take it away from me. And I have to listen to because my parents listen to it. Hey, parents, get a good CD. You know, go to our bookstore. Get some things out of the bookstore and replace that old stuff and help your young person grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't confuse them. Don't confuse them with the world's garbage, the TV and music. And what a shame when a young person says, this happens all the time. You know, I found that I just had to walk out of the room when my parents started watching TV. By the way, that's when parents all of a sudden get mad at the church. Happens all the time. You know, because their child is becoming more spiritual than them. I've never understood a parent that's not absolutely thrilled to death that their child's on fire for God. I just can't even believe it. You know, that a young person would take a stand, they would dress right, they would talk right, they would act right, and instead a parent, you know, obviously you're not popular, obviously you're not like the rest of the people, and obviously, and some teen girl is going to, Lord willing, she's going to walk down that aisle wearing white, and she's going to be pure, and she's going to kiss a guy for the first time when I say you may kiss the bride, and a parent, you know, why aren't you out here experimenting? And it happens all the time. I'm talking about Berean Baptist Church. Happens all the time. And I just don't get it. I'd be so proud, be so happy, so thrilled. That's what we're after. That's what we're after when they're just a little baby. We want them to walk in the ways of God and to live for Jesus Christ all their life. Influence. We, you know, all the influence. Are we confusing them? Are we putting them in front of people who don't believe like we believe? I'll tell you what, you are with most television programs. You better be careful. Are we putting them in front of influences? Even our relatives, shouldn't we be a little careful? Gets quiet. Look at Proverbs 19:27. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Cease. What's that mean? Stop. If God's word says, cease, my son, cease to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. We make it pretty tough on our kids when we put them in front of somebody that is giving out that kind of information. It's hard to obey, cease, my son, to hear that instruction. Understand, everything, the Bible says everything starts with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And I don't care, you can have a professor with more degrees than a thermometer. And if he doesn't have the fear of the Lord, you are going to have an inferior wisdom and an inferior knowledge. I don't care what the subject, doesn't matter. It's going to be inferior to the fear of the Lord. New convert, can you imagine him being discipled by Catholics? That's the whole Billy Graham problem of years ago. Billy Graham preached the gospel. There were people saved in this room. People saved under Billy Graham's preaching. He preached the gospel. People got saved. People are saved today because he preached the gospel. Nobody would ever question that he preached the gospel. He did. But the problem is, he would then send those new converts to Catholics. That was the whole issue back years ago, 70s, when I first got saved. You say, well, preacher, I know that was wrong back then. It still is wrong. And it's just as wrong for us to expect a child or a new convert or anyone who's young in the Lord to listen to false teaching and think it's not going to have some effect and it's going to stunt the way that they're going. It just doesn't, again... We're not thinking, and we need to think. But again, as that one who's the trainer, make sure it's not confusing. Make sure it's not confusing. Make sure you know this book, and make sure you keep those trainees under this book. And obviously, there's effects all around us from other directions. We have to do our very best with that. Trainers, what else? Last thing I have under this, you've got to be patient. We have got to learn to be patient. I love I love the way the Bible says train up a child. Train up a child. Because they start and you have to be patient. A new convert, you have to be patient. I get so frustrated. People say, you know, somebody gets saved and they come to church first time and they don't look like they got saved. I didn't. I definitely did not. Sometimes I wish somehow the new convert, Doug Rogers, could come in the back with my silk shirt and my corduroy bell bottoms. I wish I'd love to see the response. Honestly. What is that? And honestly, you know, you'd stare at it and say, hey, groovy, man. Far out. New converts are just that. They're children. They're babes. And they need to grow. They need to learn. We have to be patient. Just like your children, you have to be patient with them. Your children will sin, just like you sin. Your children will struggle with sin. I preached at this camp last week, and primarily it was Brother Dice's church and a couple other churches and some teenagers and young people there. And he told me, by the way, everybody made some kind of decision. It was amazing. And just weeping and lots of decisions. But Brother Dice told me, he said, I read some of these decision cards. He said, I could not believe my kids were going through some of these things. Now, you know, I wasn't shocked because I didn't know the kids. But you have to be patient. You have to be patient with your children. You have to be patient with your teenagers. You have to be double patient with teenagers. Amen. Let me give you the last point. Number three, that's the trainee. We've seen the training. We've seen the trainer. Number three is the trainee. Train up. Why? Because they start young. A child, a new convert. The trainee, you know, you see them, they go from little to big. And that natural thing is that they grow. We're talking about discipleship this month. And again, it's all about growing. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Again, the word newborn, as new, brand new, newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Hebrews goes on and it talks about, well, after a while, you eat the meat of the word. Amen. It's not about milk anymore. It's the meat of the word of God. And what a blessing to be able to be to that place. What a blessing to not suck on a bottle of milk and to cut into a T-bone steak. Hallelujah. But again, it is the same blessing. You realize you have to grow. And the trainee is a child. The trainee is new. The trainee is learning. The trainee, oh yeah, they're hungry. They're hungry. You know, truth is, no matter how old you are, you're always learning, always training, but the trainers have to train the trainees. And we need solid trainers. We need older people. We need folks that are teaching, that have been saved longer, that can teach, that can train up a child in the way he should go. Because the trainees are young. It's so exciting when I see our children. I see our you know, tonight we've seen the fourth through sixth grade. We saw some teenagers. We saw Kendall and Monica, and for me, you know, it just took me to those phases. Certainly, their parents and others can go back even farther than that, but it takes me to those phases of life where, you know, they had to be taught, they had to be led, they had to be, okay, here's the path, right here, this is the way, right here, this is according to the old King James Bible, and but where's it starts with, I don't know, because they're children, they don't know. They just don't know. And go back to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. Just about done. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 2. Looked at it this morning. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life. Isn't that good? Thy son's son. What happened? Well, the trainer trained, and then the trainee trained another trainee. And we keep training and keep training and keep training. And what is it? All the days of thy life. You know, there's nothing that breaks our heart more than to watch one of our trainees get away. It's a heartbreaker. It really is. To watch a trainee, to watch your child. I recognize they have a choice. Everybody has a choice. You know, we'll see somebody saved, and they have a choice. They have a choice. They had a choice whether to pray and get saved. We really don't put people in headlocks to get them saved. Except Kathy does. Nobody else does. But we really don't do that. They have a choice. But then when they get saved, they have a choice. Now, you need to get baptized. I do? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what you need to do. I had the hardest time getting baptized because I had such beautiful long hair. And I didn't want anybody to see my hair wet. Isn't that stupid? That is just so dumb. Look, but I had a choice, and I struggled with that choice. Okay, don't be mad at me for struggling with a choice. Just teach me. And thank God, I had a preacher that explained to me, hey, listen, this identifies with Jesus. Don't be ashamed. It's no big deal. You go under, you come back up. Amen. It identifies you with Jesus. You ashamed of Jesus? Oh, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Then go get baptized. I said, well, he had long hair, didn't he? And the preacher just said, well, probably not. But some of you aren't ever going to smile. I like that, all the days of thy life, though. And I also like Proverbs 22:6. It says, when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I like that about the trainee. I like the idea of training him up. Training him up. Isn't it wonderful? You know, you think about little Ryan over here, and actually he's not very little anymore. He's getting pretty big. And you just think, I mean, one of these days he'll hold that microphone. No, we're not going to remember this. I'm not. I don't remember yesterday real well. But you know, he'll be sitting up here, and I went to youth camp, and God spoke to my heart. And you know, what a blessing that's going to be. Amen? And little Lydia, you know, she's going to, and little Lydia is going to stand, and she's going to give a testimony. I just want to praise the Lord. God spoke to my heart, and I'm going to read my Bible more. Amen. And she's going to be pretty excited because her daddy's excited. You know? Yeah, and she'll, I went up on a roof with my daddy, and I helped put, no. Anyway, I was in an attic with my daddy. and little Angela Jr., you know, by the way, I heard her cry tonight. It's the first time. Conviction. It's holding that tithing envelope. But you know, you just, these are our kids. And you're going to be the you know, you're going to be the Sunday school teacher. You've already changed their diapers. Well, I'll tell you, if I wasn't here, I'd be back there. But anyway, no. You've already done all that. You've already dealt with all kinds of things already. And then one of these days you get to see them stand up and you know, they'll be in that baptistry and they got baptized. Can you hear it? Tonight, folks, this is Ryan Hutchins, and he has come to be baptized. Ryan, have you trusted Jesus as Savior? Yeah, you never know what they're going to say. Amen. Are you all listening? Amen. And I hope he's so young and he's young enough. We'll have to put that little step thing there. Why wait? Amen. And we'll put that little step thing down there, and we'll hold him up here. And in obedience to the Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And he'll go down, and boy, that'll be exciting. And they'll go through all that process, and Angela Jr. she'll surrender, you know, maybe to be a missionary. Do you see it? No, I don't know. You know, I'm pretty old. I don't know if I'll see all that, but that's what I want to see. And Lydia come down that aisle wearing white. And some goofy guy will be standing up here, you know, and Paul will have already worked him over, and that guy will be standing up here, you know, and he'll be like, they always are. It's almost, you ever seen her before? What is the deal? But it's that white dress, and it's like. I say, hey, pay attention. We're doing this thing. And, they're just so excited. And they'll look at each other, and it's about time for the kiss, you know, and they'll be drooling. You've seen it. And I'll have my little breath mint things. Maybe they'll have something new by then. Maybe they'll have electronic breath mints. They have electronic cigarettes. Why not? And I'll pull one of these out while somebody's praying. We'll have somebody, now let's pray. And while you're praying, I'll be getting out a little mint, and I'll say, you want one of these? And that guy will say, and she'll say about him. And they'll each get a little breath thing, and they'll kiss for the first time, and they'll bump noses because they don't have a clue. That's always so good when they don't have a clue. I'm always nervous when the guy grabs her and bends her back and all that kind of thing. I think, But you had a part. I'm even more nervous when she grabs him and bends him back. But you had a part, see? And that's what it's all about. That is what it's all about. You had a part. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, great-grandparents, Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, soul winners, bus ministry, you know, all of us together, Vacation Bible School. I don't care what you did in Vacation Bible School. You had a part. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When he's old, he'll not depart. When those little babies are old, I probably will be in heaven enjoying heaven. Some of you will be in heaven. We know that. We understand that. But I want to have a part as long as I can. I hope you do. Train up a child. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.